The definition of a rishus hayochid is not defined by how many people own it. It doesn't mean it's a privately owned place. Rather, it is an area of at least 4x4 tefachim, which is surrounded by walls which are at least 10 tefachim high. We learned in the previous Mishnah that the walls don't actually have to be full walls. Rather, to be halachically considered a mechitza, a partition or a wall, we can use the principle of lovud, which means that a gap of less than 3 tefachim is not considered significant and we view it as if the gap is filled up. So we saw in the previous Mishnah an example of people traveling through a desert who encamp in a valley for Shabbos, and we said that they can use 3 ropes, one above the other, and have gaps in between them, and using lovud, it's considered to be a full wall which is 10 tefachim high. This Mishnah tells us that they can do exactly the same thing, but this time instead of doing it horizontally, one rope above the other, he sticks poles into the grounds vertically. So makivim bekonim, one can surround the camp with poles or with reeds, stick them in the ground, and leaving a gap in between them, as long as there is less than 3 tefachim in between each pole, each reed. Now, as we mentioned, the Mishnah is talking about a camp. It's talking about a group of people traveling through the desert on a long journey. They haven't really got so many things with them. And the Mishnah told us that they don't need to make a full wall in order to create a rishus hayochid, but rather they can just put poles or ropes there and have gaps, and that is still considered enough because of the principle of lovud. There's now going to be a four-way machlokes as to when exactly this leniency applies, and the Gemara explains the differences between each opinion. Even though the Mishnah itself doesn't necessarily elaborate so much, the Gemara explains each opinion. So the first opinion is Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that Bashayara Dibru, the Chachom spoke about a camp specifically, a group of people traveling through the desert. The Rabbi Yehuda, that is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and only in such situation are you allowed to use this principle of lovud to make the mechitza. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, if somebody is in a settled place, then he can access all his possessions, he's not traveling a very long journey, he's on the middle of nowhere, in that situation you would not be able to make such a flimsy and not a proper mechitza in order to create the rishus hayochid. This is a special leniency which the Rabbanon made for people traveling. Now the Gemara adds that if somebody is traveling, but he is traveling by himself, not with a group of people, so Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can use lovud to make the mechitza, but you can only make a rishus hayochid of an area of up to 5,000 squared amos, but no more than that. Only if you're a group of people traveling, only then would you be able to use lovud to make a rishus hayochid, which is even larger than 5,000 square amos. Alright, opinion number 2. V'achachom omim l'chachom seyle dibu bashira ela bahoveh. V'achachom only spoke about the case of an encampment, a group of people traveling through the desert, as a common example, because they don't really have so many belongings on them. So they're the most likely people to use lovud in order to make their rishus hayochid. But really, anybody could use the mechanism of lovud. And the Gemara explains that really the Chachamim agree the Rabbi Yehuda. It's just that they hold that even if an individual person who is traveling by himself is making this rishus hayochid, whereas Rabbi Yehuda held that you can only make it up to 5,000 square amos, the Chachamim say that there is no limit even for an individual person who is traveling through the desert. But the Chachamim do agree that if you're in a settled area, then you cannot use this leniency. Third opinion, any mechitza, any partition, any surrounding wall in this case, which is not made up of both vertical and horizontal parts, any mechitza is not considered to be a valid partition, that is the opinion of Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda. And once again, we're in need for the Gemara to explain his opinion, and the Gemara explains Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda holds that the entire leniency, again, was only given for people traveling through a desert. And even if it's a group of people, they can only use the leniency to make a rishus hayochid of up to 5,000 square amos. But nobody, even a group of people traveling, can use this leniency of lovud to make a larger rishus hayochid. Alright, and fourth opinion, v'chachom emin v'chachom say echod mishnei dvarim, one of the two things, which either means one of either horizontal or vertical, it doesn't have to be made up of both horizontal and vertical parts, or it means one of the two things, meaning either when traveling the desert, or even if you are in an inhabited and settled area, you can still do so. And the Gemara explains that the Chachomim hold that this leniency was even allowed and even given in a settled area, where you have got belongings, so you're technically able to make a proper partition, Nevertheless, the law of Lovod tells us that this is considered to be a partition, even with all the gaps in between them. So to summarize, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can use this leniency of Lovod only when you're on a journey through the desert, and if you're by yourself, you can only use it for an area of up to 5,000 amos. The first Chachamim in the Mishnah hold that you can only do it on the journey in the desert, and there's no limit for how large the area can be. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the limit of 5,000 square amos is for both individuals and a group of people traveling, and the Chachamim are the most lenient, the second Chachamim, and they hold that you can do so even in a settled area, whether you are an individual person or a group. Now, since we've just discussed the leniencies which apply to a group of people traveling through a desert, the Mishnah discusses a couple of leniencies which apply to a military camp. And of course, if there's a danger to life, then one can transgress Shabbos in any way. But we're discussing where there is not yet a danger to life. For example, if they're not yet fighting right now, but they're getting ready to fight. So our Ba'ad Dvorim Potru B'machaneh, the Chachamim exempted the people camping there from four things. Number one, Mavin Eitzim Kol Mokoim, they can bring wood from any place. Any wood which has been cut down already, they are allowed to take and use as firewood, for example. And this is based on an important principle known as Hefker Beis Din Hefker, which means that the Beis Din have the power to make anybody's property ownerless. And so the Beis Din use this power in this case, that any wood which the army camp needs is considered ownerless and they can take it and it's not considered stealing. Secondly, if Turim and Chitas Zodayim, they are exempt from washing their hands before eating bread or before davening. Rather, they should just clean their hands without water. And the Gemara explains that Mayim Achronim, washing one's hands after eating, before benching, that was still an obligation even for these people, because at least in those times it was dangerous for one's health not to wash his hands at the end of the meal. They use a certain salt which if they had on their hands and they touched their eyes, it could blind them. So that remained an obligation even in an army camp. Thirdly, Umidamai, they are exempt from separating tithes from Damai, which is produce which is bought from an Am Haaretz. Produce which is bought from a person who is not knowledgeable of the laws of tithes and is not trusted with regards to separating tithes. Now, midoraisa, if one buys produce from an Am Haaretz, he can trust him that he separated the tithes. However, midrabbanon, one needs to separate the tithes again, or at least most of the tithes. But the Rabbanon did not include in their decree an army camp so that they would have enough food to eat. They exempted them from separating tithes from Damai, since that is only an obligation midrabbanon. And fourthly, in the one which is most relevant to Amasechta, Umele Orev, they are exempt from setting up an Eruv Chatzeres. Eruv Chatzeres is an Eruv which is set up in order to carry from one private domain into another. So for example, to carry from one tent into another. In general, you would need an Eruv Chatzeres to do so. That's when everyone puts a bit of food into one tent, and they would view it as if it's all really one big domain. So that they do not need to do. However, they still do need to surround the entire camp with partitions so that they can carry at all within that area. It's only the Eruv Chatzeres which they are exempt from. And as well as that, Eruv Techumen, the Eruv which one needs to make to be able to travel more than 2,000 amos on Shabbos, that is also still an obligation for them. An army camp is still not allowed to travel more than 2,000 amos outside of their city or outside of their camp unless they make an Eruv Techumen, which would give them another 2,000 amos in one specific direction. Now, why is it that they are exempt from Eruv Chatzeres, but they are obligated in Eruv Techumen? So this is a discussion, and the way we're going to explain is that the Techum Shabbos, the maximum distance which one is allowed to travel on Shabbos, is actually Midoraisa. There's a discussion as to whether the Midoraisa distance is 2,000 amos, or if it's much more. Some hold that it's actually 24,000 amos, and Midrabbanon it's 2,000 amos. But either way, the original prohibition of traveling further than the Techum Shabbos is Midoraisa, whereas Eruv Chatzeres is totally Midrabbanon. And so because of that, the halachos of Eruv Techumen are slightly more strict, and therefore even an army camp is obligated still to make Eruv Techumen if they wish to travel more than 2,000 amos away from their camp.